And every tongue should confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the glory of God the Father. In considering the person of Jesus Christ, we know that he has two natures, one human and one divine. Christ thus has two souls. And in thinking about the actions of Christ, we must be able to separate to some extent his actions as the Redeemer. He came to take our place, and so he became man. He assumed our nature in all things except sin. And as man, he could suffer, but as man, he did not have all knowledge, yet as God, he did. To fulfill that role of Redeemer, he supplied some things by his divinity. Yet what do we read? What were one of his last words on the cross? Why hast thou forsaken me? God allows the suffering of Christ for that purpose of the redemption. And for no less a purpose does he allow your suffering, that you may be freed from the slavery of sin and death. We mortify the body, we bring it into subjection, lest ourselves become a castaway. Lest our body, our passions, take control of ourselves and point us in a direction which we do not wish to go. Our work is to unite with Christ in his suffering. This takes great faith. Walk while you have the light, that darkness may not overtake you. Now, Christ is saying this in that he is the light of the world and can lead them to that higher truth of living. Faith is an assent of the mind to truth revealed by God. It's an act of the mind. It's an act of the intellect. We use our mind and enlighten our will to choose. We must then study our faith. Grow in your knowledge of the faith, which will grow your love of the faith and your desire for it, to live it and to be a part of it, that it is a part of you. Yesterday we had the gospel for Our Lady on Saturday, and the woman of the crowd cries out, and our Lord replies, "Yea, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it." Keep it. And the Blessed Virgin Mary did exactly this. She sought the will of God. She studied. She knew the prophecies. She knew Scripture. She heard the word of God and she pondered it in her heart. She kept it close to her. Sought to do the will of God. This is what it leads to. And this is what we have to do. We can't just expect our faith to happen all of a sudden. We have to work at it. It is a gift from God, but we have to keep it and nurture it and grow it. We have to learn it. We have to be focused at living it, giving our time to it. St. Francis de Sales, in his treatise on the love of God, at that time, they thought pearls were created by clams or oysters coming to the top of the ocean and getting rainwater in them. We now know it's sand. But the analogy is there, the analogy of St. Francis de Sales gave, focusing on that love of God, that they receive that from God, and then inside a pearl grows. And he used the analogy to say that some clams are rained upon, yet do not form that pearl. And so it's for us to work at living the faith, to seek out those means of knowing the faith, those means of grace, that God can open your heart to him, that God can grow within you that pearl of the living the faith. The analogy is sound. We must be working to hear this word of God. We must be working to keep it in our hearts. We must be working at preserving the faith. We see in this time so many attacks to our faith. In all the media, books, there's songs and movies, influencers online, all these things can be an attack to our faith. If we don't make a study of our faith and keep it strong, how will it not fail under this strain of all this outside influence? We take into consideration then all the influences of the world and what they hold upon us. We take into consideration what effect this thing that I'm viewing, that I'm listening to, that I'm watching, this company that I'm keeping? How does it affect me? What then are we to do? Walk in the light. Live your faith every day. It must be a part of your everyday life. Part of that walking is suffering the crosses which God allows to befall us. Because he doesn't abandon you. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't say, figure it out on your own. He sends you grace to strengthen you to bear your cross. We look at the cross today. God himself did not hold it beneath him to sacrifice on the cross. Rather, it was a calling, his vocation. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Your crosses and suffering shouldn't be an attack on your faith. They should be a means of strengthening your faith. Christ has given us the example as he worked to fulfill his three offices of teacher, pastor, and priest. He gave us the faith, the teachings to be believed, revealed by God himself. This is the truth. He draws you to him by, he works then to give us the new law by which to live. He united us back to God then by his sacrifice on the cross. He took your place, and he draws you to him by this act, redeeming you, meriting for you grace sufficient to overcome all obstacles to your salvation, giving you the strength to follow him and bear your cross daily. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all things to myself. We work then, as we look at the cross, to have that inspiration every day, as we blessed holy water this morning. When you go out of your house, use the holy water and bless yourself. Make that sign of the cross, that sign of your faith, of your life, of what we believe, especially in this trying time when we go out into the world. We have to have that in our mind. Just as for the gospel, we make the sign of the cross on our forehead, on our lips, and in our heart, that Christ may always be there in every aspect of our lives. Let us make our faith, living our faith, our focus, our main focus of the day. Walk while you have the light. Believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.